Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to finish our series that we've entitled Capacity. We've been looking at three foundational truths in our text that God has put in our lives to help us to grow. We understand that it's always God's will for us to grow. Amen? That it is His plan for us to be more mature, if you will, in things, to have more capacity for things in our lives today than we had 5 years ago. Increase in your capacity. So that's what we've been talking about. And we've been looking at three things that God has given to us to help us to not be stagnant, if you will, but to grow, to continually grow in Him. And he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, there's one, your labor prompted by love, there's two, and your endurance inspired by hope, number three, in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was overjoyed when Timothy came back from the church. He had sent him there because there was great persecution, great suffering that they were facing. And so when Timothy came back and told him what was going on, he was overjoyed because in spite of the severe suffering, there was still work that was being produced by faith. There was still hope. There was still love. Amen. And so those are those three foundational keys that we've been talking about: faith, hope, and love. And it's important for us to remember that it's still God's will for us today. In spite of what we face, we can thrive. Hallelujah. In spite of what may come your way this week, God will help you to not only make it through, but to do so as an overcomer. And so that's His plan, is for us to be able to increase in our capacity to receive blessing and to be a blessing. So He gave us faith, or that ability to believe on Him, not just anything. We know we automatically live by faith all the time, but there's a specific faith that we've been talking about, and that's faith in God. And using that faith or that belief on Him and His word, and acting upon those things, applying those things in our lives, not just saying we believe, but showing people what we believe in by doing certain things. Faith in action. Also, He gave us hope. There again, this hope that we've been talking about, it's not a wish. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a maybe. But the hope that we're talking about, it's a confident expectation of a good end. And the reason is because our hope is solely founded upon Jesus Christ. It's founded upon His ability to do and to say what He's done and what He said He will do. Amen. And so we place our hope on Him. What happens, regardless of what comes our way, we know that nothing can separate us from the love that's found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so what does that do? That keeps us going. So faith will get you there, but hope will make you want to take the journey. That's hope in action. Amen. So today we're going to look at love. And we're going to do so from the same perspective. And that is this: love in action. We all know the Bible says that we are to love not just in word, but also in deed and in truth. In other words, just like faith, you can tell me that you believe on something, but until I see you act upon it, it's just words. You can tell me that you love me, but until I can see some action, it's just words. So we want to make sure that our love, as we're talking about love, we want to make sure that we show the love of Christ. So faith is believing beyond me and my ability. Hope is expecting beyond me and my ability. And love is acting beyond me and my ability. So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul made mention of their labor prompted by love. Now, we know there was tremendous pushback. And the reason that I say that is because in our lives, we too have pushback. And sometimes that can discourage us. That can distract us from what we are actually there to do. And so we want to make sure that in spite of those things that we may face, that pushback that's going to happen, it's not if, but it's when, that we stand upon a firm foundation. And so in spite of those things, they thrived. And they did so because what they were doing for God flowed out of His love. God's love deeply affected how they treated each other and how they treated those who were persecuting them. And so because of His love, they were able to love beyond their own ability. How do we know that? Well, here's a question for you. Have you ever met someone who rubs you the wrong way? They just kind of get under your skin for maybe no particular reason or whatever, or you may have some very specific reasons. But whatever the case, they just seem to rub you the wrong way. How about this one? Do you have someone maybe in your life that is consistently treating you wrong? Maybe they talk about you in a disparaging way. Maybe they even lie about you. In some way, they are always seeming to do you wrong. How about this? Do you have someone who's ever stolen something from you? Maybe something of great value, and it hurt you deep. Whatever the case may be, all of a sudden, you just turn around and boom, there they are. And you sense in your heart, God wants you to minister to them, that He wants you to bless them in some way. Would you honestly be able to do it? This is just between you and the Lord. It's, you know, don't let nobody else around you know. Just between you and the Lord, would you honestly, because there again, He knows the truth, right? He kind of knows, you know. And so, but would you honestly be able to minister to them, to share the gospel, to bless them? I believe that probably for most, that's going to be extremely difficult. To the point to where, more often than not, most people will walk on the other side of the street versus standing face to face and allowing God to operate through them to be a blessing to that person that's done you wrong. And yet Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. He said, you've heard it said this way, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He says, but I tell you. So in other words, this isn't a suggestion. A lot of people look at the Bible as a book of suggestions. But it is not a book of suggestions. It's the roadmap to life. And so he says, I tell you, or this is a command that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then if that's not enough, he says this, he tags it with this, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now that just raise the stakes big time. So we're not just talking about any old thing. We're talking about something that is directly tied to our relationship with Christ. So we need to take notice of this, right? We need to pay attention to this. And so how in the world do you do that? To love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You're standing there in the middle of the grocery store, and that person who's done you wrong time and time again is walking down the same aisle, and you're sensing in your heart so much so that you can't escape it. God wants to use you to be a blessing to them in that moment. How do you do that? I believe without a doubt that those who are able to step up to that plate and swing and hit that ball out of the park can do so simply because they have God's love in action inside of them, which is transforming them, increasing their capacity for love, and that increasing of capacity is showing itself as it flows through them to that person that they're ministering God's love to. And so here's the deal. Whether we like it or not, there will be times in our lives when we are going to have to love beyond our own ability. If it hasn't happened yet, it might this afternoon. It might this coming week. We may have to forgive someone who's failed us. We may have to help someone who's harmed us. And I believe that as God's children, we honestly want to do those things, but it's hard. It's difficult. It's difficult. So how do I increase my capacity to love? All right, let's read down through the scripture and let's see what Paul talks about as he gives us inspiration by the Holy Spirit. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, endurance inspired by hope in Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And here's what he says. This is where we want to jump in today on how to increase our capacity for love. He says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. So the first thing is we need to walk in fellowship. Walk in fellowship. While Paul was there in Thessalonica, we know that there was persecution against him as well. There was things that were tough for him. But what did he do? While he was there, the Bible says that he lived amongst them. If you go through Thessalonians and the letters that he writes, he makes mention of how he did that, of the care that he gave to them, of how he didn't want to be a burden to them, how he worked among them, how he fellowshiped with them. And the result of that walking together created a bond. Oftentimes what happens is when someone is rubbing us the wrong way or they're getting under our skin, we have a tendency to keep them at a distance. And that makes perfect sense, because why in the world would you want to hang around somebody who is always bugging you? I mean, why in the world would you want to hang around somebody who's always jabbing you in the ribs? You know? And so it makes perfect sense that we wouldn't want to hang around somebody like that. And I get the fact that there are, yes, some people that we are supposed to stay away from. Scripture gives us clear insight into who those people are. But at the same time, I also know that all the people that we avoid and keep at bay, in our minds, we've convinced ourselves that it's right. But the reality of it is that God himself has brought them into your life to stretch your capacity for love. So not everybody that we avoid are we supposed to avoid. Not everybody that we keep at bay is to be at a distance in their lives, because God wants us to be salt, and salt has to be applied to be effective. There has to be interaction, bottom line. And so there again, if it's God's will to increase us in our capacity to be loved and to show love, and if we're going to keep those people at bay that God's bringing our way, what are we doing? We're actually fighting against God's will in our lives. How many would, just from common sense, probably figure out that's not the best thing to do? And so one of the ways that we can safeguard our love is simply to walk in fellowship. What does that mean? That means to purpose in your heart to create opportunity to find out their story, to find out what makes them tick, to get to know who they really are, not our perception of who they are. I tell people, do us both a favor and don't establish your opinion of me based on a perception of what you think I might be thinking or what you think I might say. Give me a chance to speak for myself, and you just might be surprised at how much I'm for you and not against you. We may have a courageous conversation, and there may be some things that we have to address in order for the both of us to walk in better fellowship, not only with each other, but with God. But you might be surprised how much you may just appreciate someone else in your life, but you're keeping them at bay. Tell me something. Have you ever not liked someone when you first met them, but after a while they became a friend? How did that happen? You simply gave room for them in your heart. I remember way back a long time ago. Don't go there, she says. But look at all the interest now. There was a time when my beautiful wife had said that she would probably not date me if I was the last guy on the earth. But to know me is to love me. What happened? Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. All that happened was she gave me a chance to show her who I really am. And she happened to like it. Those people that get under your skin, there again, I'm not saying this as a blanket statement, but what I am saying is that there are going to be those in your life that God is asking you to love, and it's going to take more than your ability to love in and of yourself. It's going to take Him helping you to increase your capacity. How does that happen? By walking in fellowship with them, by allowing yourself to be opened up just a little bit more to them and finding out a little bit more about them and saying, you know what, they're not that bad after all. And in the long run, our capacity to love is increased. And that's vital if we're going to continue to grow in Christ. So let's continue to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5. You know how I lived among you, he's saying, for your sake. And you became imitators of us and the Lord. And in spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, today, if we're going to increase our capacity for love, then we need to walk in joy. Now, the Bible says that they welcomed the message, very important that we understand this, with the joy given to them by the Holy Spirit. So what we need to remember is there is a God kind of joy. And it's unlike anything else that you'll find in any other place in the earth. This kind of joy, the God kind of joy, is a constant supply of gladness. Tell me something. Where else in the earth can you get that? Be honest. Where you can have a constant supply of gladness. You see, it only comes from God. And that kind of joy that the Lord gives, it doesn't fluctuate because it transcends earthly relationships and circumstances and conditions and possessions. It doesn't depend upon our mood that day or our understanding of someone or our abilities. It doesn't depend on any of those things. You see, what happens is the joy of the Lord rests solely, just like hope does, it rests solely on Jesus Christ and His ability to perform His word. Amen. It rests solely on Him to save us and to keep us and to deliver us from these things that we face. And guess what? He is well able. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given to us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So this is not just a one-time thing. It's a living or a continuing hope. And it's just as vital today as it was 5,000 years ago. Amen. It's just as powerful today to work miracles in our lives as it was when Jesus walked the earth. He gives to us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and He's kept in heaven for you. If that's not enough, check this out, verse 5. And He says, "And who through faith," talking about us, "are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And He says, in this, in what? In our living hope given to us by Christ that will never perish or spoil or fade. In that hope, He says, we greatly rejoice, or we have that constant supply of gladness. Amen. He said, though now for a little while, we're going to have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. But notice this. He said, it'll create a faith that's greater worth than gold and result in praise and glory and honor and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Verse 9, because we're receiving the goal of our faith. We talked about that when we talked about hope and how important hope is. When we begin to realize that in spite of what comes our way, in Christ we win. That in spite of what happens in our life, heaven is our eternal reward. And that there's nothing that can take it away from us. that will be a constant supply of joy in our lives. You see, when you live in that constant flow of the joy of the Lord, it's hard to hate people. Did you know that hate decreases your ability to increase in your capacity to love? It's hard to gossip about people when you're walking in joy. You know, when you live in this constant flow of joy, it's hard to mistreat people, even if they mistreat you. What are we talking about? We're talking about increasing our capacity to love. Solomon said it like this. He said, "The hope of the righteous brings joy." So we're to walk in fellowship. We're to walk in joy. And finally today, to increase our capacity for love, we are to walk in forgiveness. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Without a doubt now, if there's anything that will stretch us, it's this one. I would have to say probably that forgiving someone who's wronged us is going to be in the top five hardest things to do for the majority of people in and of themselves. And yet the Bible says this, be compassionate one to another. I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 32. Forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So here's the thing. While it may be hard, it's not impossible. Write that down. Put a star beside it. Do whatever you got to do, because there's going to be times when we're going to be asked to love beyond our ability to do so. And part of that is forgiveness. But while it may be hard, you need to remember it's not impossible. And while there's all kinds of excellent reasons why we should forgive, I mean, they even have proof now to where there's actual health benefits. And it goes all the way to having a right standing with God Himself. And there's a myriad of reasons in between. And while those are all fantastic and we should be aware of them, I'd like to give you a perspective of forgiveness that probably you're aware of, but maybe you don't think of very often. And that's this. Forgiveness levels the playing field. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, oftentimes when someone wrongs us, as we're processing through what's been done, and as we go through all of the emotions of that experience, during that process, oftentimes we'll find ourselves asking this question, why did they do that to me? Or how in the world could they do something like that? Those are very legitimate questions. But unfortunately, many don't stop there, but they take it to a whole nother level. And here's what they say, I would never do that. That simple statement that I would never do that, whether you speak it out or whether it's just a thought in your head, is part of the reason why it's hard to forgive others. Because that statement reveals a heart issue that we all contend with on a consistent basis at varying levels, and that's pride. You see, what pride does is it sets itself in a different light than others. Usually it's a better light than what somebody else is. It creates a false reality that's harmful to everyone that's involved. And Jesus dealt with this in Luke chapter 7. If you would, turn there with me, please. In Luke chapter 7, the Bible tells us that Jesus was invited to have dinner at a Pharisee's house. And listen closely to what happened. Verse 37, a certain woman who had lived a very sinful life from the city had heard that Jesus was eating there. And so she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Some say that it was literally the cost of an entire year's wage. I mean, this is very costly. Verse 38, and she knelt behind him at his feet weeping. And her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And she kissed his feet and put perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he thought this, if this man was a prophet, surely he would know what kind of a woman this is that's touching him, because she's a sinner. And so Jesus, knowing his thoughts, said to Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. Simon replied, go ahead, teacher. And Jesus told him a story. He said, a man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, though they are many, have been forgiven. And because of that, she has shown me great love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. And Jesus turned to the woman and he said, your sins are forgiven. I believe that the truth that Jesus was showing them in this moment was not that to love much, you have to be forgiven much. But I believe it goes deeper than that. I believe what he was telling them was that her capacity to love was solely based on her awareness of how much she needed Jesus and how much she knew that without him, she would have no hope, of how much she knew she needed his love in her life. You see, too often we compare each other and we judge ourselves in a different light than we judge our neighbor. And we say, oh, I would never do that. And while that may be true, you may never find yourself doing what they may have done to you or to someone else. The real issue is found here in Romans 3 and 23. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, the bottom line is that whether you was raised in a brothel or whether you was raised in the church house, all of us need Jesus. We have all fallen short and need a Savior. And so what I want you to remember is that the more you become aware of your own need and dependency for Jesus, the greater your capacity to be able to love and to forgive others will be. And here's the reason. It's because when you begin to understand that, then you begin to live in a realization that we've all blown it. And though it's them today that may need forgiveness, it very well could be me tomorrow that needs forgiveness. And what happens is that levels the playing field when we understand we all are in need of Jesus. So I would encourage you today that if your joy is lacking, do as the psalmist did and pray, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And when you begin to pray that, you'll find that the Lord will begin to infill you one more time and you'll begin to understand that hope that you have in him and your joy will begin to increase. If your feathers are getting ruffled this week by that one person who just gets under your skin, I would encourage you to create opportunity to get to know them, to give the Lord a chance to work on your heart, and you might find that they're a trusted friend that you'll need one day. If you're having a hard time and maybe even think that it's impossible to forgive someone, I would encourage you to stop in that moment and remember all that God has done for you. Take the focus off that person and place your focus on Jesus Christ and remember all that he has done for you. Remember all that he has forgiven you for. Remember how good he has been to you. And I guarantee, as strange as it may sound, when you begin to do that, all of a sudden the playing field will be leveled and you'll find it much easier to give forgiveness and to walk in forgiveness.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about the warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.